Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
All right, Ivy Podcast listeners, you are tuning into another episode of the Ivy Podcast. I am your host, Angela Alberti. Boy, oh boy, do we have a great show planned for you guys. We have been getting our footing across many different verticals, what has been executive leadership, technology, tech innovations, workforce ecosystems, and more recently, dipping our toes into the healthcare space. We all know how important and pivotal our lives were up until a few years ago, and certainly look to have valued what made the whole pandemic a navigable water for us was the frontline staff, the nurses, the doctors that did what they did and continue to do what they do every single day for us. So it's with great pleasure that I have the chance to sit down with Joy to go through some of those nuances as it relates to tying our nurses and putting them to work every single day. Joy, can you give us a quick background on yourself?
My name's Joy Grassi. I'm originally from Boston. I was a bedside nurse, both permanent and travel, for 16 years. Back in 2012, I saw the need for there to be advocacy for nurses and allied staff, and you know, it includes physicians. I do that pro bono, and it just kind of progressed. I did it concurrently while I was a travel nurse for 6 years. And then eventually I was asked by agencies to come down, and mostly it started with training recruiters. I was one for 3 months, but.
I think it's fascinating. Can we just pause there and let the audience let that sit in? I mean, you were a nurse for 16 years. You literally dipped your toes into the recruiting space for 3 months. And then because you know nurses, you were a nurse, you understand the lingo, you understand their concerns, you understand their pain points. You were actually a paid trainer to teach folks how to recruit for nurses. Your story to me is so fascinating, but what do you think were some of those advantages? Why were you getting called to teach folks on how to recruit never worked?
Yeah, first, I didn't want to be a recruiter, okay? And I don't believe anybody should be called that if they're a human being. It's an overused word. I was at a permanent hospital, and I'm from Mass, so it's unionized. 94% of our hospitals are union. And I had been there since the start of my career in 2000. And I started noticing things change, right? And we can touch on that a little bit later. But we basically got forced out, not just me, but I didn't understand why at the time, okay? And I was like, I'd say disgruntled. So I wanted to get into medical device sales. So I applied to CR Bard, which is Foley catheters. And I was a trauma nurse and then obviously became a CVIC nurse. But they said I had no sales experience. And I'm like, they do really kind of like sell themselves because every hospital uses them. And I don't understand. The next call I got was a recruiter call, and we didn't have travelers. This would have been 2012, and they were reaching out to me with the most amazing opportunity, the scripted dialing for dollars script. And I said, is this sales? I had no idea what it was. And they said, yes. And I said, well, can I just do what you do? So then I talked my way into that job. So clearly I can sell. And when I went in, I was very shocked because my boss was, I was 34 at the time. And, I look a little bit younger, I guess, but they were all 21-year-olds wearing shirts and ties right out of college. And that was the thing is I didn't really implement it there. But after that, I stuck with the same recruiter for 4 years. And I always say nurses, allied, we're working and sleeping when you are working. Recruiting, if talent acquisition, human being specialisting is a 24/7 job. Just because, so from 9 to 5, I created like this kind of training program that, you know, it's proprietary. I don't give it to everybody, but I do have like four rules. And it was to like really know who you're calling. Don't call us at all, please. Because who's picking up an unknown number at work? Okay. Goes the other way too. But I was like, why, if you were going to approach me, I would prefer to be text. I would prefer, and you know, use my name, know what kind of a nurse I am, mm-hmm. know what, where my license, you know, give me who you are. And so a lot of recruiters that would call me, I'd be like, let me give you some advice. And then they started passing it around, and I'll never forget, like 6 months, I was already in travel and stopped being a recruiter. I learned a lot of credentialing there though, in compliance, but somebody was using my method. I'm like, who taught you how to do this? So they were, I was like, was it this guy, Ryan? He's like, yes, because it was from the Northeast. And then, you know, 2016, I was approached by a company to start training. And I do still do training, but mostly that's overseas.
Nice, nice. Okay, so you've amassed this, I guess, reputation to teach recruiters how to recruit for this particular niche, which we've seen it just, of course, given the circumstances recently, explode. Mm-hmm. There have been staffing firms that were, you know, maybe 200, 400 million in 2019 are now at 1.7 billion at the onset of 2022. So just significantly impacted the staffing industry. And you've amassed this following, this representation, this advocacy for the nurses. Why? Why do you think people trust you as a candidate when it comes to their best interest and who you can align them with?
I think because I take the time and I can empathize. Mm. So a lot of times, I mean, you know, I can plug Nurse Recruiter. Okay. I know the vice president, Dan, there, and I had used that at one point, and I used it for the purpose of advocating and mentoring. So I started mentoring, and then it was more, hey, you know, I've been a travel nurse, I've been a perm nurse, but you really have to have that patience and listening. And also, you know, I deal with lawyers, they know they can come to me. So all of my business is referral based, whether it be by a nurse, seeing another nurse, and no healthcare professional pays me, they pay it forward. You know, I work with agencies and I don't support bad ones, you know, like I will not do that. So it's all about, I mean, a lot of people can't sit on the phone. A lot of people don't want to hear a story. But again, and this isn't saying that there aren't good human being specialists out there. That's what I call them. Then there's a lot of recruiters, but they don't know how to talk to us and they aren't willing to listen. And then I have ones that I know that truly maybe haven't worked in healthcare, but they're a people person. So as far as the nurses and the doctors and the allied people that call and they're having a bad day, I'm open 24/7. So it's my cell phone, it's my work phone. I've had the same number since 2000 or 1999. So, and everybody's programmed in. So I think it's just because I don't make promises I can't keep. I promise I'll do the best I can, but I think in being honest and being able to be there for them, I've been the luckiest person I think in the world because I've made a bazillion new friends. And also have the ones I had when I was working bedside.
That's awesome. Wow. Wow. All right. So I want to press on something that you mentioned. I think it speaks volumes to sometimes the notoriety that the recruiting and staffing industry can have. You alluded to some of those reasons in your own experience as to why they're not as successful as other recruiters. Maybe they don't have that empathetic leadership. Or that just that general interest to have folks succeed in their career.
Being.
Exactly. Human to human, right?
Yeah.
But let's dive deeper into what your experiences are, or what you think are some of the reasons that attribute to perhaps the negative notoriety within the nursing community for the healthcare staffing space.
I mean, a lot of it is, and it's not everybody, and I'm not saying every nurse is great, every allied staff is great, every doctor's great, every me is great. There's only one of me. there are good and bad, but I mean, you know, we talk about how they are trying. I feel like a lot of agencies are grasping at straws at this point because they aren't willing to put in the work, right? So they're hiring younger and younger nurses. Why do nurses not trust recruiters? I couldn't tell you from my personal point of view, because I stayed with my recruiter, my human being, for 4 years. He has his own company now. Okay. And I love learning. So I just wanted to learn about stuff. Why didn't I work for the company that I was recruiting for? You know, I skedaddled and went over to him. So it was because he was there. It was because he explained things. And I think a lot of times there's a lot of bait and switch. That's something my mom would say. It's a bait and switch. You know, they'll say that they have a job, and I know travel jobs move faster, but also we have to put it back on the candidates. And that is not me being negative, but it's lack of education, first of all, what recruiter knows what it's like what 21-year-old knows how to be in a hospital and a nurse, work in a hospital as a nurse. They don't, okay? So they can't even explain it to them. And then you have recruiters that will not explain to somebody, don't talk about money at work, because we're involving direct, VMS, MSP, they don't understand that complete breakdown. So they start talking about money at work. You take one of anybody I talked to was not going to not have a lengthy conversation with me about, are you ready for travel and what to expect? But they get mad because they get lied to, or they blame them for cancellations and stuff. And we will get into that later, but you know, they don't trust them. They don't trust them. And a lot of times I can't say that I blame them because, you know, there's a Facebook group, I'll name it, Travel Recruiters. Anybody want to go on there? It's owned by people that train recruiters, and they name names, nurses' names.
Wow.
And tell them that they're like, I hate this one, I'm going to DNR them. And at least we like cross out the names most of the time. I'm not saying they all do, but they literally as a group out there. So somebody like me who's been a nurse can get on there. I don't screenshot or anything like that, but a lot of people can just get let on there and see it. And it's kind of like a little, just, it's sad and it's upsetting to someone. Even when I've walked into agencies and they say things, you know, not all agencies, there are good ones, but there's some.
And well, let's talk about the good ones, right? So or even the ones that are looking to improve on their current offerings, right? What do you think are some of the more immediate steps that agencies can take to further advocate for the nurse, to further offer this representation, aside from what you're mentioning on simply empathizing and being a human behind it?
Right.
Like, how do you show where the money's at?
Yeah, I can't give you like my whole thing because, you know, we're looking for that one place that wants it. And, you know, I think I may have found that place. But the number one thing, like as far as advocacy, you know, that's like I'm an advocate, right? So I'm going to be there. I'm going to talk them through it. I can assess their skills. I can understand their story. But you might have a hospital that's coming to an agency saying, oh, they didn't hang the med right. And then, and this is another reason why nurses get upset, because I'll end up getting to talk to them at some point. And the agency is like, sorry, you got canceled. And then they're mad at the nurse or the candidate, right? But they never hold the hospital accountable. And that's where this problem started in the beginning, okay? So they're afraid to lose a contract. I say, set a precedent and say, tell me how they hung the med wrong. Tell me how they didn't fit in. You just let them get away with it. They keep doing it. Then these nurses that are or allied staff that's uprooted their lives, and that's the only option most give anyway. There's no choices for perm or at least you know, this one app that advertises for that, but I get upset. So they just are like, oh, you cost me commission, you cost me money. But that's the one thing that no one does. I don't know anybody that does it, that fights back and says, tell me how they hung the med wrong. In order to do that, you have to have somebody. Just because I don't work at the bedside anymore doesn't mean I don't know how to hang meds. I mean, I was a critical care, you know, level one CVICU nurse and everything else in between before that. So, you know, you can, a nurse can hear a nurse. If it's a CST problem, I get a CST that I know and we don't charge. But if you don't fight back against the hospitals, you're letting them know it's okay. So if that, those are money focused people, they're like, oh, we couldn't possibly lose an account. Well, tell them that we really screen our candidates. Now, if they have a valid reason, fine. But if they don't, just say, well, we don't send our good nurses to your garbage hospital.
Wow. That's powerful because honestly, one of the simplest forms that they can take is representing them with the end client, the system.
And they won't, because they will not do it. In the agency contract, and the hospital or VMS and MSP contract are far different from the agency to like the candidate contract. And the candidates don't know that, but they're mad because they're going to lose money and they might lose an account. Well, if a lot more agencies would start doing that, maybe a lot more nurses and candidates wouldn't be so burnt out and upset, you know, but they won't because they, you know. But you don't make money off of hospitals if you can't fill them. And if they had bad experience with you, what's the point anyway?
Wow.
I don't know. It's not rocket science.
So Boston Joy, I mean, it's been so much fun talking with you, but I really want to pick your brain on this point. There is simply not enough talent out there for the actual demand in which these hospital systems across the country are seeking to fill for. And you know that they have to maintain a number of beds open. They need to have a certain headcount. So they are really, dare I say, desperate to find the nursings that can bring them up to capacity. Where do you think this is causing the origin of why there is a supply or even a staffing shortage on the basis of nursing and talent pools in general across the country? What's causing this shortage in your opinion?
Well, I mean, when I became a nurse, it was still in the good way of being a nurse. You talk to a nurse who became a nurse in 1964, she's going to be like loving life, right? I still had that. Why? CNOs and CMOs that ran the hospitals actually worked in the hospitals, worked on the floors. They knew who we were, right? And we got trained properly.
But for those that aren't in healthcare, what is a CNO?
A CNO is a sort of, oh my gosh, now you've put me on the spot.
What? Certified nursing officer?
A chief nursing officer and a chief medical officer. Sorry, okay. I knew that. I didn't have to Google it. It's just like, I was like, oh, no. But when I started, they actually worked those floors. They worked. And then they rose and became the administrators. And then they retired. And then the CNOs and the CMOs now have an MBA after their name, meaning they've never, and 90% of the time, they've never worked in a hospital. And then you get an MBA, and what does that say, right? Money. And that's what I have said this on many other, you know, shows I've done. It's business care, okay? The second, that falls right into the second thing. There's nurses now that are getting ready to retire. And these are the nurses that can't maybe travel because it's not, you know, generalized pay rates when there isn't crisis rates, you know. They don't want to, but they get forced out because you're paid by your years, especially in a union. So nobody will hire them perm. What are they supposed to do? Take their three kids. Maybe they're a single mom, single dad. They own a home and you want them to go to like Vero Beach, Florida. Like it's that easy for them. But they apply for jobs and they're told to look at numbers inside, right? And then you have, it's always going to be about money. They're saying now, oh, we want to get nurses in. Look, let me send you a spreadsheet, any hospital. I have managers call me all the time and say, can you get us some experienced people? I'm like, do you want to lose your job? And that's not because I don't want to provide them. It's just because they will. And that's a lot of times why admins, not the CNOs and CMOs, right? But it's all about money. They would rather have less experienced nurses that cost less, but who's training them? An inexperienced nurse, right? So that's part of it. There's also like staffing, you know, political type of things happening going on, and it's about money. So a lot of times we have nurses that are going to nursing school with these people that are out there glamorizing travel nursing. So they're really just going to nursing school just to do that. I could give this country, like, come to me, I don't get a fee. Like, you want experienced good nurses that want good permanent jobs? Okay. There is a shortage, of course, but they're now fighting over staffing ratios. Like, Oregon just passed this law that they're using crisis to override the fact that you should only have 2 patients in ICU.
Wow.
Now you have to take as many as they have to give you because they're in like crisis mode. So, and then there's just like a lot of other things, but a lot of it is these experienced nurses that we need. You know, my instructor became a nurse in 1964 and she came out for the pandemic. You know what I mean? People were not washed up. It's just that, you know, a lot of them get frustrated too, because if they get forced out or bullied, there's a lot of lateral violence, mostly against women. I am not one of them, okay? But there is, and therefore they get forced out, but they can't travel, or they're not comfortable traveling because who's teaching them how to travel? Me, okay? And there's a couple other people that will, but they're not honest with them. So I think just with everything going on out there, the pandemic really took a toll on nurses. And they were so, I mean, the stories I could tell you about, you know, what they come to me with.
Yeah.
But then we have all these people retiring. Then we have a Massachusetts strike that went on for 6 months using FEMA money because the hospital doesn't have to pay for it. And those nurses, a lot of them were experienced. That was a 6-month strike. Never hear of it. And we certainly don't hear about it where I'm from. So you're forcing them out because you're thinking about the end result of money.
Wow.
But that's not the only reason. Retirement, you know, all that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely. And what I think is interesting, if we look at some of the, I guess, projections into what the future of work is without a shadow of a doubt, one of the critical elements is the technology, right? It's very easy for anyone now to go online and find a form of employment. And nurses included, right? So we're seeing the rise of platform technology. Think of them as digital staffing agencies, completely facilitated online. What is your thoughts on the platform movement?
Okay, so I'm big into, you know, you have to like remember, you know, like I'm a Gen Xer, so we're the best generation, I think, because if we refer to nursing, like I can chart on paper, I know how to use a computer. Okay, we have like nurses that maybe got forced out and are like older, like maybe a boomer, right? Yeah. And they're like, what? So what I love a platform. I will tell you, I love an agency-based platform because first of all, you can pay more money. You don't need to hire recruiters, okay? You need people in the back that know everything there is to know and certainly have an advocate that can provide resources and all of this. Mm-hmm. But when you see these platforms, what the biggest mistake they make is, and I think this is why nurses get so upset too, but maybe don't think about it, right? You can get paid more on these platforms. Now, half of them don't even have anybody working there. It's like, you might as well be like, you know, like, how do you know how to use it, right? Who do you complain to? Who can you talk to? The answer in half of them is zero, okay? Mm-hmm. The other half, they advertise and demo to the client, and their client is the hospital. The hospital doesn't pay you money unless you can fill it. So why not have a demo for nurses? Because some of these, and I have them all on my phone, I like a few. Nobody does it as I would want to, but like, you know, I hope to one. I do like the idea, but you have to have people behind the scenes, and it doesn't have to be 500 of them. And you don't need 90 board members unless they're investing and adding. Okay. but you want to decrease your operational costs, right? And by reducing commissions and all of this other stuff, but you need to have somebody that can answer the phone. And then on that platform, you need to have resources. And why are they not advertising to the people that make you the money? The hospital doesn't, only if you get people in there. They're afraid to lose the client. Good. If you can't fill it, you're not making money anyway. It's costing you COI and workers' comp and all of that stuff, right? So you're just paying if you can't fill them. So you need, why are you promoting? Oh, hey, because what I think, and everybody take this into consideration, is if a nurse is promoting, like, yay, this is why I like this platform, because they made a demo to show us how to use it, and they're all start talking about it. Guess what? The clients are going to start coming and want to come there, knowing that there's so many nurses and allied staff that want to use it. Mm-hmm. But I don't see any of that. Mm-hmm. Nobody does that. Mm-hmm. Unless it's the wrong way, by saying you go to Nepal and get sponsored by Celsius Water, because you don't go to South Dakota and get canceled. Yeah. Like, not all the time. It can be a great thing. But right. That's the, I love platforms. I prefer native to, you know, web. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't quite understand why an agency just flips into a platform, because it's just increasing costs, which takes away from the nurse, because mm-hmm. you have to build it and you have to keep it running. So it's like, and you're still keeping all those like 80, like over 100 recruiters. I know a place that has 80 people that do compliance.
Yeah. I mean, so overall, I mean, it's a great, it's fascinating overall movement, but not enough is being invested.
I love it. If somebody, yeah. I mean, so I've had discussions with people, and like, I've worked with one, you know, that I think is really great. There are people there that will answer, but no, you know, as far as advertising, you know, there's some good ones. They almost got it, but we're the ones that make the money for you. And that's a fact. Hospital's not just going to give you money if you're not giving them anything.
Yeah.
We can agree on that.
I think a lot of what you said can actually transcend itself into staffing in general. I mean, it's just not just exclusive to nursing. It really is, what is the investment to optimize your talent?
I mean, I am ROI and their experience. Positive. So I'm looking, and I've been talking, and like, I'm hoping that, you know, like I just have a unique perspective from, because I mean, just because I haven't been at the bedside in what, like 7 years or 5 years, something like that. I don't know, I lose track. I still, all my friends are doctors and nurses, and I talk to them every day, and I deal with them legally, like, you know, as far as like having to refer them. My phone doesn't stop all day. So, and I keep every single number programmed in. Every person I've ever spoken to, I know who they are, I know what they do. And sometimes recruiters just don't take the time. I mean, and they send you that emoji with the money sign, tongue coming out, like, oh, yay. So, no. And then we have the outsourced. And I do enjoy training them, because they deserve to be trained, but they're IT companies. And there's a different approach that needs to be had, you know?
Definitely. Well, you definitely have a lot to say, and it almost makes me sad that we're having to wrap up today's podcast. I think you've opened our eyes tremendously when it comes to the world of healthcare and staffing for nurses. Where can our audience find you?
Well, they see me when I do like the Attorneys TV show, which is on YouTube. Podcasts, you know, I've done Travel Evolved. Where can they find me? They can call my phone number. I don't advertise. Like it's an actual company, but I'm in the sole, it's like my stage name, you know, it's where I file my taxes, but it's DTRT Healthcare Consulting and Advocacy, which I named after a Gandhi quote and a recruiter who says that I always seem to do the right thing because I care about people. His name is Jake Brower, and he's very good. My phone number, I'll blurt it out. Everybody calls it anyway, 978-835-6203, if you need me. If you want to send me an email, it's my last name, my first name at yahoo.com. That's the main one I use for anything business related.
Awesome. Boston Joy, you are on YouTube. You are on podcasts. You have your cell phone, you have your email audience. You guys have had the chance to sit with Joy today. If you guys have any feedback or any additional questions, feel free to get in touch with her. Feel free to get in touch with us.
Yeah, you can text me.
Absolutely. Joy, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And thank you to our audience as well, guys. We'll see y'all on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.